Thanks to Pav in the newsroom. McCafe iced coffee, smooth and refreshing, perfect for summer. And don't forget, if you are shopping for a Kluge, you can visit three great Toyota locations today: Berwick, Pakenham and Cranbourne, of course. We've still got some Pataki hams to give away. Put yourself in the running by sending a decent text and or give us a call. It simply wouldn't be Christmas without a Pataki hams. Time now to talk all things hoops, of course, with the great Andrew Gaze. He joins us on Dwayne's World. Gazy, there's a couple of games being played as we speak in the NBA, and there's a few games that have been postponed because of COVID. There's a lot of players that aren't playing because of COVID. It's a crazy world, this NBA basketball and basketball across the board.
Well, I think it's a crazy world for sport in general, isn't it? Because of the challenges that the world is facing in regards to dealing with the COVID and all the variations that we currently have and potentially may have in the future. It's an unfortunate set of circumstances, but it's great to see that the NBA and leagues around the world are putting the health and safety of the players and the fans as a priority.
That they are. Now, if people don't want to know the scores that we're talking about, then look away now. But I want to talk about that man, Josh Giddey. It wouldn't be a conversation about basketball, in particular in the NBA, without Josh Giddey. I mean, his rise is rapid. He is now currently playing in a game against, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies. He has 14 points to his name. He's the leading scorer, and OKC have tied it up at 45 apiece. Gazy, big prediction. Could he be the best thing that's ever played in the NBA from Australia?
Well, we hope so. He's got a lot of work to do, and he's only 19 years of age. So it's quite extraordinary that what he's been able to do in a very short period of time. And in today's game, he's 3 of 5 from the three-point line. And we've seen throughout the start of his NBA career, that's been an area where he's probably been a little inconsistent, but shown that he has the capacity to do well. And we're seeing evidence of that here today. And also, when you think of a 19-year-old body still maturing, playing against the greatest athletes in the world, and getting involved in a game against a quality opponent a couple of days ago, the Los Angeles Clippers, and hauling in 18 rebounds, I mean, that is absolutely absurd. That is just something that even... I love the kid. I've known him a long, long time, and he's part of the family, so to speak. So it's a little... I'm clearly biased, but not in my wildest dreams did I think that in his rookie season he'd be involved in the game and grabbing 18 boards. So he's unfortunately, that game he was 4 of 14 from the field, and it was 2 points off. He had, I think it was 18 points, 10 assists, and only had the 8 points. So he missed out on a triple-double, but it's still 18 boards is even more impressive than if he had scored an extra couple of points.
Yeah, very much so. We're talking basketball with Andrew Gaze, Aussie basketball legend. Watch every NBL game live on ESPN via KO and Foxtel or on the ESPN app. What's the latest with Ben Simmons, mate? I mean, I'm trying to keep across all things. Are we going to see him again? Where's he about to bob up?
I will eventually see him again. I think it's... there's still a fair bit of posturing going on. Dave Simmons, his dad, has been in Australia. You might have seen him on some of the broadcasts in the stands going to NBL games. He's returned, or it's been reported that he's returned to the United States, and that a lot of people are speculating that they believe a deal is imminent, that because of him going over and perhaps providing whatever assistance he can. Now, I think it's probably more coincidence than anything else, because he'd have a team of agents and other advisors that would be around him. But it's been quite sad, really, the way that it's unfolded. We're more almost a quarter of the way through, or even maybe a little bit more for some of the teams. And here we have one of the truly great players in the world not playing because of a standoff with his team. So... I thought that it was going to require him to go back and pull on a Sixers jersey in order to give him and the team the best chance to resolve it. But who knows? Maybe someone out there, desperate times calls for desperate measures, were prepared to provide a package that will entice the Sixers to make the move.
A name that we know so well in NBL, he had a brief stint as an import over there in Perth, and that, of course, was James Ennis, and he's got himself a short-term contract with the Nets, albeit their game's been postponed, but it's good to see. I still think he had something to offer, and I was surprised he couldn't get a full-time gig somewhere.
Well, there's a bunch of players that are like that that are now getting some opportunities because so many teams have got players that they've actually created a special category to allow teams to do it because they're just trying to get through as many games they possibly can. It's an 82-game season. It's a lot of games, and if you've got to start postponing them, it can cause some real havoc to the schedule. So they're allowing this special category of player to be signed to help out, and probably the more stranger one is Kyrie Irving. Because of the Brooklyn Nets' challenge with their so many players getting COVID, that when they're on the road, they originally said that they weren't going to allow to do it, but they've changed their tunes now because of the number of players that they're missing out on those cities where that are not insisting on all players be vaccinated to get into the venues or to play. That they're going to allow. The Nets have now said, well, they're going to allow him to play in those games. So it's a sign of the times. It doesn't mean he's going to be back on a full-time basis because there's still many cities and even the Nets themselves in New York, he's not allowed to. So there's still some challenges there, but it's a hell of a replacement to have. We've got one of the all-time great point guards coming in to pinch hit for you to play in those games.
Yeah, 100%. Andrew Gaze, let's turn our attention to the local competition. Of course, the NBL, the Wildcats on top, South East Melbourne, Phoenix, Illawarra, Cairns have only played the three games. United were starting to get a little bit busier. Garda and Golding now starting to warm to the task. Brisbane were fantastic to go after being in Perth for a fortnight and playing twice against Perth and leveling that series. To go back up there and beat the previously unbeaten Illawarra, coached by the great Brian Gorgian, that was huge by the Brisbane Bullets. Huge.
Oh, my word. And if you think back to in the off-season and even on the eve of the season starting, most people had very low expectations of the Brisbane Bullets, and most people had them in their bottom couple. But what we've seen is Robert Franks is a star. He's been a replacement. Vic Law, who, at your way, with the Perth Wildcats, he's been a sensation. He was with Brisbane last season. Well, they've found a more than adequate replacement in Robert Franks. He is a superstar. And him combined with Lamar Patterson is in better shape, and Nathan Sobey, who was part of the Boomers program that won a medal, they've got put together a really good team, and they're going to be hard to beat. They won on the road in Perth, which is one of the toughest places to win, and then they've backed that up a week later, coming back home after a loss to Perth, but getting on a plane and playing their first home game against the Illawarra Hawks and picking up a 4-point win. It was fantastic. So Illawarra, I really like. I like the team that Brian Gorgian put together. So that's a really credible win. Two really credible wins against two teams that I believe are going to be involved in the playoffs. The Brisbane Bullets have had wins over them, so some good signs for them.
Caleb Agata shaking off the cobwebs, and he's all of a sudden starting to get busy, and he's only going to get better with Golding now into the lineup. And Melbourne United reap the benefits first up against the Breakers, who have got a world of hurt ahead of them. There's no doubt about that. Albeit they're over here and they've got more travelling party. They've got an entourage of 60 and 70, but they're five games for five losses. It's a very big hole for the Breakers to get out of. But Melbourne United, you just got a feeling they're just starting to get serious.
Yeah, you're spot on with New Zealand. Some real hard luck stories. They've had some problems with injuries, and Jeremiah Martin missed a few. Their other import missed a few games. Yanni Wetzel's been fantastic, as has Will McDowell-White. There's a lot to like about him. And one player that is moving rapidly up the NBA draft board is Hugo Besson, who is only 20, but he's actually not a... Technically, I don't believe he's a next star. He's actually their import, but only 20 years of age, and he has shown that he is a lights-out shooter. So, they've got a bit of work to do, but 0-5 is tough. But Garda had a tough start, mainly with his shooting. He wasn't knocking down the shots, and question marks, even after a couple of games, everyone's kind of saying, gee, is he going to be up to the challenge in order for United to put together a roster that can defend their title? But the last two games, he's been really good, shot the ball well against the Breakers. But the thing I like about what Melbourne is doing mostly is on the defensive end. They have just been fierce. And as such, they turned around a slow start, and the guard has played a big part of that. And down the other end of the floor, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence. The first two games, they struggle offensively as a group. You bring back Chris Golding into that lineup, and things just all of a sudden look a whole lot different, such as the impact that he can have, not just from his own scoring, but the way in which he spreads the floor, because you've got to respect, as soon as he steps over the halfway mark, he's in range. So, I like the team that Melbourne United have put together. Matthew Dellavedova, you look at his numbers against New Zealand, I think he only had 4 points. But it undersells what he brings to the team. He's a great leader. He sets the tone on defence. He distributes the ball. So Melbourne United are going to be tough. They are going to be right up there as one of the championship contenders yet again.
I'm concerned about the body language I'm seeing from the Adelaide 36ers, and I think Tasmania, it's great to have them in the competition, but their wins are going to be few and far between. They just don't have an ace. They've got workman-like blokes who buzz around, in Majette and also Adams. They're solid, but they're no stars. They haven't got an absolute P-Australian player. Magne is a month away from looking fit. He still looks like he's struggling a little bit with his fitness, and in particular his knees. Adelaide look, and I say this, disinterested, and Tasmania, I've got a long way to go. Am I being harsh, Gazy?
No, you're not. You're actually spot on. I'm not as upset or disappointed with Adelaide. I think Adelaide have got some good talent. I think that you're right. It's going to be a challenge for them in order to make the playoffs, but they've got a decent roster. You know, they've got some of those veterans. Daniel Johnson just keeps on keeping on. Yep. And you look at Withers, Todd Withers, and Isaac Humphries, and I think when they eventually get it together and they start to gel, and perhaps they get a better understanding of their roles, and Mitch McCarron finds that balance between creating for himself as well as creating for others, then I think they're going to be okay. But I think you're right with the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers. They've got a solid team that's always going to be competitive, and they'll win their fair share of games, but it's hard to see them figuring in playoff action.
No doubt. No doubt. And the last one for you, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Played the 4, won 3. I like what they're setting up right there, right now. And I think Simon Mitchell's got a very big opportunity this year. Now, we must confirm also the Wildcats won't be back in Perth until the second week of February. So all of a sudden, Gazy, they might be vulnerable.
Yeah, well, you're right. They will be, because any time you're away from home and there's such little difference between the very best and the not so good, the margin for error is small. But any time you've got a bloke called Bryce Cotton on your roster, you're going to be feeling pretty good about your chances, combined with another absolute superstar in Vic Law. They've got the best 1-2 punch in the competition. And Frazier, their new guy, Michael Frazier, he's an American guy. He can score. He's going to improve as he gets more opportunity and understands the competition. So I wouldn't be riding off the Perth Wildcats, but you're absolutely correct in saying that it's going to be tougher for them not having that home court. And full credit to the Perth Wildcats fans playing against the Jack Jumpers, who we all know aren't going to be one of the marquee teams, and have the highest ever attendance. Is that right, guys? Is that
13,000? Biggest ever. 13,650, I think it was. You could not get a ticket. Andrew Vlahov's daughter, Ruby, was in the back row of the highest point. It took her 25 minutes to get down to courtside to see her old man, who was sitting alongside me doing Wildcats Live, the big Hoffinator.
Well, you know, that is again, we reap praise on Perth and what they do, and just as a sporting community, it's extraordinary. But that is just a spectacular performance by the fans to come out and get behind their teams, probably with the knowledge to know that this is going to be the last chance they're going to get to see it for quite some time. But they get there, they wear their red jerseys, and they show the support. They are the envy of most other teams in the way they get around their team. So well done to them. And Phoenix, they're going to be fine. They what a bounce back by the Sydney Kings after being absolutely humiliated. Absolutely, like everyone was sack the coach, they're doom and gloom, they're rubbish, and they come back and then they beat the undefeated Phoenix, who I really like. Xavier Mumford is a star. Ryan Brockhoff had a downer against Sydney, but he's an Olympian that can do some great things. Mitch Creek is in career best form, and Joe gee, is just a sensational import. So they're going to be great, and don't worry about Phoenix. They had a downer against the Sydney Kings, but give more credit to the Kings and discredit the Phoenix, because that was an unbelievable turnaround to go ahead and get that win against Phoenix.
Hey, just do yourself a favour. If you're a basketball fan and you can get to watch the Brisbane Bullets play, Big Lou, who's their big Chinese import, I reckon he's 7'6". He is the biggest unit I have ever seen in my life. Now, he has got a translator, and I was an interpreter, should I say.
Yeah.
He had an interpreter who was apparently sacked after the blitz, and they went and got another one. Yeah, I know. They've got another one, and he travels with him on the team and on the road. Yeah. Lou is 7'6", and his translator, I kid you not, is 4'8". And I'm not sure the translator can get the message to Lou. I reckon he might have to mobile phone it to him so he can hear him, because they are dead set like cartoon characters. They are so, so funny to see. But isn't it great that we are getting some wonderful imports? I mean, I know Lou's got a long way to go. He's only a young boy, but boy, oh boy, he's going to create some havoc when he gets his head around the game.
No, he is. He's a big guy, imposing figure, and he moves really well. I think that he's got a bright future, and it's great to see this Asian content, or content right throughout the world, but players from all around the world coming and playing our league. And Joe Chi is a star, the one from Phoenix. He's a 7-footer, NBA experience with the Houston Rockets, but he is a superstar. And if you get a chance, to the fans need to go see him, because he's really versatile, great rim protector, can shoot the ball. Had a double double in that loss to the Sydney Kings. But you're right, Big Lou, he is something different, and he's a real challenge for opposing teams to figure out how to contain him at both ends of the floor, because he can protect the rim, and you plonk him under the rim and get it to him, and he's a tough cover. So it brings a new, different styles of play that you can see in the NBA, in the NBL this season.
No doubt. And I kid you not, I was sitting sidelines with Vlahov with Wildcats Live. We've done the first 5 games at home for the Wildcats, and a bloke came down and got Andrew Vlahov's autograph and turned to me and said, "And you too, Gazy."
Oh, geez. I hope you didn't take that as an insult.
And I turned around and I went, "Not quite." And he went, "Oh, my God, I thought it was the two boomer legends sitting alongside each other." I get that a lot. I get that a lot, guys.
That's not confused with being compared to someone who looks 80 and and is just struggling to get around.
I was hoping that we'd come down and say, "Thanks, Flav." And can George Clooney, can you also sign that as well?
Yeah, there you go. That'd be better.
Merry Christmas to you, legend. Merry Christmas to you.
And you too, and to all your listeners. It's hopefully everyone stays safe and has a great time. And Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yeah, Andrew Gaze, watch every NBL game live on ESPN. Let's get a breakaway. This is Dwayne's World.